Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a bakedown! Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Hope y'all are coming off a great weekend, unless you're a Rocket. And everybody's ready for a magnificent week. We survived daylight savings time and everybody that bitched about losing an hour, but you gained so much more sunshine. What?
Hi, first of all.
That would be instead of pointing
at me. How
you
doing, sir? Nicholas. Yep. You say we're ready for an amazing week because you know it's a short week for me. That's why you said that, right? Because I'm out for 3 days. So you're like, oh, this week's going to be amazing because Barry's gone half of the week.
More than half of the week.
I knew you were keeping track.
No, but now that you mentioned it, Nick and I are having a party for 3 days
later this week. Okay, fine, jerk. That's why you said, you never say amazing week until I'm out.
Nick, we got to start thinking about now people we should have come into the studio.
You know what I'm most excited about?
Where's Jerry Rocha?
Why are you playing Celebrate?
We're celebrating.
You think we...
Short week with Barry.
You sons of bitches. First of all, I'm celebrating because I don't have to do Way Back Wednesday.
Good point.
Nor do I have to come up with a theme because you guys are on your own. It's probably party songs. Songs to celebrate too.
We were fine last week.
Jerks.
No, take that.
Yeah, and this, I'm like, I don't know, there's so much going on that I'm really going to miss it. It's so slow right now.
I mean,
now.
You had a lot to do this weekend. You went to Austin. You had a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, the BMX thing and all kinds of stuff happening.
Did you get rad?
Okay, let's do that first. So I had the appearance at the BMX Nationals, which is really cool. That new bike park that they have on 45 in Kirkendall, it's badass. It's really nice. Some of the racing was really good. Some of the racing, I don't know why there were certain people that just didn't try. Like, they were legit just... I mean, they might as well have had a banana seat and an orange flag on their bike.
How old?
All ages. There were some old... Like, when I did the call-ins for the Blitz, I told Fred, I was like, bro, they said there's one guy in here that's 60, so you can come on out. They were old. They were young kids. There were a lot of adults that I was like, it's time to let it go.
Probably reliving their youth.
You're in your 40s, 50s, and you're still doing BMX. Unless you're like a Tony Hawk version of BMX, that seems a little... I could be wrong.
It really does.
Let your kids do it.
Yeah. But they do that one commercial for Advil where there's a guy that looks like my boy Blue from what was it, Road Trip? And he's a skateboarder. I'm like, come on, bro. It's time to find another
hobby. There were some old guys there, some of the races were really good, but there was just a few where nobody was trying. They were just like, I was kind of baffled by the whole thing that they didn't try. So I asked one of the people, I was like, how come some of these guys don't care? Is this just like a test run where they're just getting to know the track? And they're like, no, these are all supposed to count. Well, maybe they don't care because their parents are paying for the trip or something. I don't know what it was. I still had a good time, and if you went, I'm sure you had a good time too. This Olympic qualifying, and so if you won this weekend, you qualify for nationals, which could set you up for the Olympics. So it was kind of cool to see all that early stages of it. But yeah, really nice bike park. It's right there by the skate park too. So
okay,
that was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you were in Austin, huh?
Yeah, man. Let me tell you. First of all, the venue I was at was on 6th Street. I don't understand the appeal of 6th Street anymore.
Used to be a big deal, right?
It used to be something that you wanted to do back in the day. You go and party.
Yeah.
It's nasty. 6th Street is a garbage-ass street. Literally
not as clean as
garbage-ass street. Huh?
Not as clean as Dallas then, huh?
No. Okay. Not even close. You couldn't pay me to go hang out on 6th Street now.
Man, that was crazy because even when the Rockets had training camp in Austin, we made sure that we made it down to – we even snuck Charles Barkley in the back of a bar because he said he had heard so much about 6th Street and had to go out there.
Well –
used to be a big deal. Even when, what was the...
Tell Charles to skip it this time.
Yeah, what was the MTV show where they brought all the people into the same... Real World.
Oh, Real World.
When the Real World was filming down there, 6th Street was still big.
Yeah, it was... Oh, man.
When they stopped serving $2.50 Jack and Cokes...
Oh.
I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Because their drinks are expensive now.
I'm going to 7th Street. No, first of all, I get there. So I messaged the guy that was doing the booker, the promoter, and I'm like, hey, is there a place for me to park for comics? He goes, well, they're just parking all over. Just grab a spot. So I was like, okay. And I pull into this lot, and it was $16 for 3 hours.
Wow.
And I got there at 7, show didn't start till 7:30, which ended up being 8:15, so the show was late. I was like, look, I'm going to have to go just to – because of the parking. So I asked the guy, I was like, hey, man, my parking was 16. He goes, oh, I paid 10. I was like, and then the host, she was like, oh, I parked under the freeway. It was 8. I was like, well, how come nobody told me this? He goes, you should have messaged me. Bitch, I did. You told me park anywhere. Oh, so then I pull into the parking lot, and there's this homeless man standing by the parking thing where you go and pay. And I was like, no, I had to go back. Put my piece in just in case. I was like, nah, you're not going to take my credit card and run. So I go up there, and he's helping you is what he's doing. He's
trying to get a tip.
He's like, all right, so here's what you're going to do, sir. You're going to put your card in the machine. And I wanted to turn around and be like, bro, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not a dumbass. I mean, I'm a dumbass, but I'm not an idiot. I know how to work a pay machine. I've parked before. But I was like, don't be a dick. Just okay. So he's like, now you're going to hit this and push that and click this and do that. And I was like, oh, my God. So I go through the whole thing, and he's like, I get done. He goes, now, I know you're not going to believe this. And let me tell you what. Anytime a homeless person or a bum starts the conversation with, I know you're not going to believe this, but it's a lie. Whatever they're going about to tell you, it is a bald-ass,
fabrication.
Bald-faced lie. So he goes, I know you're not going to believe this, but. I'm a veteran and I'm down on my luck and and he goes, I got this bucket and I'll clean your windshield. I'll clean your car. Do you have any money? I was like, bro, I don't carry cash. And I had all kind of cash in my wallet.
You're a bad person.
So let me finish the story. So then he's like, oh, I understand. And he was real cool about it. Like he didn't press me. He just goes, I understand, sir. Have a good night. God bless you. I was like, oh, don't hit me with the God bless you at the end. That's cheap. That's low blow, man. Now you're bringing Jesus in this? This was between you and me. Leave God out of it. That's not fair. So I'm walking back, and I'm thinking, all right, what if he's telling the truth? What if he really did? Because there are a lot of homeless veterans.
Mm-hmm.
What if he really did serve our country? What if something happened to him that it was beyond his control? Because people are homeless all the time. They don't control it. I was like, you know, you can't assume every homeless person. So now I'm feeling bad. And then my mind switches to, what if he's like, all right, bleep that dude. I'm going to break into his car as soon as he walks off. I'm like, damn.
That
would be my fear.
So now I'm getting paranoid. So I was like, okay, well, now I got to save face if I'm going to go back and be like, oh, I did have a five. So what I did is I took a dollar and all the pennies I had in my tray, you know, I probably had 75 cents in pennies. So I just took that in my hand, and then I was like, hey, bro, I don't carry cash, but I found a dollar and all these pennies in the car. So you can have that. And he was like, every little bit helps. And I was like,
that's good.
And I almost said, just don't break into my stuff, okay, homie? God bless. Like, get him back. Because then maybe he'd be like, right before he bust the window, he's like, oh, he said God bless. That's not fair. I'm not going to do that. So I felt bad, but, you know, I'm not going to
But you know what? In
hustle.
Midtown.
Oh, that's notorious for it.
Notorious. And, like, public on-the-curb parking with no charge. And the dudes, like, wave you in, and they wave you to the curb.
And then they charge
And then you. They start charging you 10, 15 bucks. It's like, whoa, bro, slow. And, you know, if you're not from down
They're going to bust your window if you don't pay.
Also, the people that come to Midtown from other places, just, like, they just assume that it's real. And they just start forking out money to these guys.
I've told this story several times on air about me and the bum at the Spaghetti Warehouse. They'll get you.
Yeah.
They will get you. So you got to be careful. But this, I paid the meter. So I didn't pay the homeless man. I paid the meter, put the ticket in my car. But then as I'm walking to the venue, oh my God, the amount of homeless people in Austin.
Really?
Oh, I walked by this. I don't know if it was a homeless shelter or what. You know how that tent city is starting to form downtown? Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I think they cleaned it up for
they
the rodeo.
They tried to. They shut it all down for a couple times.
But, man, dude, there was just, you'd walk by, there'd be just a crack pipe and a random pair of socks and just all kinds of stuff. Just and homeless people.
I don't
people
even remember Austin being like that.
It was heartbreaking walking from the parking lot to the venue and just passing dudes sleeping on the sidewalks, just bundled up. I mean, I was just like, God bless, man.
Because it was kind of cold, right?
Yeah, well, it was cool. Yeah, it was in the high 50s, maybe.
Yeah.
Just it's heartbreaking, man. But it was not the Austin that I remember last time I was there.
I was told, or wasn't it you that said Oregon? Like they kind of just left.
Oh,
they're way worse because they're like all over in Oregon.
Oregon, yeah. Like it's cheaper to just because they have great public transportation. But I still say it's cheaper just give a bum $5, get a piggyback ride, and they're everywhere. Oh my God, yeah, they're everywhere.
I think it was you who said it.
Yeah,
when you had a trip.
Yeah, he went there the last time.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was real bad. Austin wasn't that bad, but it was kind of, I felt like just around the 6th Street area, but I don't remember it being like that at all.
I can't tell you last time I went to Austin, but last time I went to Austin, I didn't remember any of that. Obviously, it was super nice.
Dirty. No, this is dirty. Lots of homeless folks. It was.
Really?
Yeah, it was not good.
I was told that people appreciate Austin now for the city and not for 6th Street anymore, because even kids are, like, college students obviously will still go, but it's nowhere near what it was 15 years ago.
Even the headliner, Dean Del Rey, when he was, because I actually was standing outside the front of the venue just hanging out, waiting for it to start, and he comes walking up, and I was like, oh, hey, what's up, man? I'm your feature. I'm Barry. He goes, oh, hey, nice to meet you, man. He goes, dude, I didn't know if I was going to make it on the walk over here. It was scary. I was like, yeah, dude, it's
really.
He goes,
never would have guessed it from Austin.
Yep, pretty crazy. Then we get there, and it was a nice venue. It was like an indoor-outdoor venue. So it's on 6th Street across from the Velveeta Room, which is also a comedy club, so it was kind of ironic. But then you go indoors, but it's like they literally just took the roof off of the place.
Hmm.
So all the other buildings around you have roofs, but this place just doesn't. But it was a nice little small stadium-looking thing, and they had a really nice green room. We get in the green room, and there's this dog who has a Wilford Brimley mustache. He's completely shaved except for this big, thick Wilford Brimley mustache. I was like, oh my God. Oh. Even the dogs in Austin are hipsters. He had a hoodie on. I was like, this is the weirdest thing. Like, it's just a random dog in the green room.
The dog almost looked racist with that mustache.
You know what he looked like? He would look like if Sons of Anarchy had a dog as a mascot. It would have been this dog because of his big, long, flowing Wilford Brimley, Dr. Seuss looking mustache. It was weird, man. It was a crazy trip. And last little story from the trip. On the way up there, I had to pee. I had to stop, as you do on a 3-hour drive. So I just stop in. I had already passed the Buc-ee's because I had to listen to people. Why didn't you stop at the Buc-ee's? I didn't have to pee at the Buc-ee's. So I didn't stop. So I stop at the Circle K. I go in to pee. There are 3 Frito-Lay corn chips in the urinal. Now, at first glance, you may not think anything about that, right? But my thought was, who's eating corn chips while they're peeing? Like, who is literally
disgusting
snacking on chips as they urinate? How else would you get Fritos in the urinal is the question. Like, how hungry are you at that moment? I'll wait. I can wait. I'll leave them in the car.
I mean,
How
could be
hungry
walking into the bathroom and you're putting the last handful in your mouth. You had a few extras and you're like, what am I going to do with these? So you threw them in the urinal before you peed? I don't know.
I just don't believe that.
I don't think you're cleaning the floor because then you're a real idiot.
I'm just like, how do Fritos end up in a urinal? That doesn't make any sense. It's the weirdest damn thing.
That is weird.
It was a weird trip.
Huh. Well, keep Austin weird.
Well, they're doing a good job of it.
There you go. All right, well, we're just getting started on the usual suspects. If you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number. Also reach us via Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Before we go any further, though, Barry's got something.
Guys, March Madness is here. It's time to score big on the nonstop action. Get over to MyBookie right now. Take advantage of it. MyBookie is the best place for you to cash in on, you know, all the March Madness, the insane buzzer beaters, the huge upsets, those white knuckle finishes. When you got a little scratch on it, it makes it even more fun. They offer live betting on every game. They have bracket challenges, national championship futures, and a whole lot more all waiting for you. You can bet on almost anything at MyBookie. That's why I love them and everybody else loves them too. You can even bet on the Democratic nomination, the presidential election, even the name of the next pope. All that's available at MyBookie is so cool. MyBookie caters to all players out there, whether you've been doing it for years or you're brand new. So whether you research each of those matchups or you just fill out a bracket based on the mascots, it doesn't matter. MyBookie has something for you. Join now. Start winning today. If you're sick and tired of getting the runaround, because there's a lot of places, they're going to give you the runaround when it's time for payouts. That's not what happens at MyBookie. They pay fast when you win. They've got decades of experience. They've got great customer service, hassle-free transactions. There's no reason to go anywhere else. Go right now, sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 975. You're going to get a 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code 975. Get a 50% deposit bonus. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at mybookie.ag.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday in the big city of Houston, Texas, right here on ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, Barry, and myself, Joel, as we tee it up. Aim high and let it fly as we wrap up whatever happened over the course of the weekend. By the way, Barry and I were just in the bathroom, and I said, I ain't doing the 20-second hand wash, because they actually now
didn't have
are
to say
wasting.
We were in the bathroom.
Right, too late.
Now we're going to never hear the end of it.
Well, when you do a show and you're on a time crunch, sometimes we both end up in all three of us.
A show that pees together stays together.
Yes.
So we just get in the same stall. Share a toilet.
That is false.
Okay.
The fact that they have to do segments on the news on how to wash your hands.
What was everybody doing beforehand?
Not washing their hands?
20 seconds. You have to. Then they said, because you can't count to 20, by the way,
you
have to sing happy birthday twice. That should do it.
Who can't count to 20?
Exactly. And they're going, so if you're a little perplexed as to how long 20 seconds is, sing happy birthday twice while you're scrubbing your hands. How stupid can you be?
Or just count to 20. Nora and I were discussing this. Actually, Nora and myself and her sister Nancy were like, why is there no hand sanitizer? What were you nasty sons of bitches doing before the coronavirus scare? Like, how all of a sudden there's no hand sanitizer? There's no water
anywhere.
There's no, like, what were you doing before? I hope everybody that made a rush for hand sanitizer, I mean, I'm not going to say I hope you get coronavirus, but I'm rooting for it a little bit. All of you.
Like,
A little bit. Okay, a lot. Maybe just not the whole, like, coronavirus, just some of it.
I went to HEB to do grocery shopping, and Lisa's like, hey, while you're there, just grab some hand sanitizer and some Clorox wipes. We're out. I'm like, good luck with that. She goes, what are you talking about? I go, no one's going to have
it. Yeah, no one, yeah.
Even distilled water, which you're supposed to use for the baby's formula, limit 4. I'm not drinking the distilled water. I'm just using it for the baby formula. They're like, nope, doesn't matter. 4, that's it.
Man, she said, okay. She said that Sam's didn't even have bottled water.
No, they're basically the grocery store chains and the Sam's and the Costco's are getting water in, but literally the hand wipes, the Clorox wipes, and the hand sanitizer is like gold trying to find it. And they're, and a lot of places, you're supposed to report them because they're jacking the price up on it.
Yeah, again, what were you doing before where now all of a sudden, and do you not have a faucet? Why would you stock up on water for the coronavirus? Because people are like, oh, well, it's if you get quarantined. So you can't get water out of the faucet to drink? You don't have your refrigerator doesn't have a water dispenser that's filtered? Like, I just don't understand people. If you spent money on water, I hope it goes bad. If you just bought water for potential quarantine, I hope your water goes bad.
Which is dumb, right? Yeah, it's not like the weather is just ridiculously bad and there's a natural disaster in the air and people think they need like 8 cases of water.
I'm just rooting for bad things to happen to people.
I saw Josh Rapp quote tweet something not too long ago, like 10 minutes ago. And he quote tweeted a video of Dr. Drew, you know Dr.
Yeah,
Drew?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how everybody was overreacting. I could not agree more. It sounded like this.
So, Dr. Drew, are we overreacting?
Yes.
I'm hearing this from doctors left and right.
Yes, and we are not overreacting. The press is overreacting, and it makes me furious. The press should not be reporting medical stories as though they know how to report it. If we have a pandemic, I won't know how to tell that we're actually having a pandemic because everything is an emergency. Mm. People that are infectious disease specialists, the CDC, the epidemiologists, need to take this very seriously. The press needs to shut up.
Wow.
Go, Dr. Drew.
I loved it.
As well.
Because what it does, and it affects someone like me, because I'm obviously dealing with my own little issues with my mom being in Egypt, and that has become major headlines, and now you could potentially go to an airport and get quarantined.
It's crazy. Yeah. Right after you mentioned that to me about Egypt, I thought, nah, it's Italy. It's definitely not Egypt. And then when you sent me the screenshot of the tweet, and I was like, man, maybe. And now, boy, they're talking about Egypt left and right.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
The headlines are all over, dude.
I'll tell you this. I took Taylor had like this for her dance class. She has this dance class every Saturday morning. They did like they always do fundraisers for charity. So they did this outdoor festival with a petting zoo and all these other different activities and things like that. And evidently, I probably don't want to know, but Lisa made whatever appropriate donation was necessary to get 50 tickets, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Then
don't ask.
At first, Lisa's like, because of the coronavirus, Taylor should go. No, I think they're probably higher. But she's like, Taylor shouldn't go. And then all of a sudden she's like, and I've had Taylor the whole afternoon after basketball, the whole works, because Lisa had to get her hair cut and stuff. And she comes back and she goes, hey, there's only about 45 minutes left to go in the festival. She really wants to go. And I'm like, okay, let's go. She goes, well, I'm not going to put the baby in that. I go, so I'm taking her. She goes, yeah. She goes, well, here, but use this because you got 50 tickets coming because we made a donation. I'm like, what am I going to do with 50 tickets in 45 minutes? So then I get there, and we did some things. She did the petting zoo. She got a lot of stuff done in 45 minutes, and we stayed a little extra, and we left. And I got about 35 tickets in my hand as we leave. I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy. It was a donation for charity. We're good. Then after dealing with the Costco and the HEB and all the people, I go, I should have cashed in the damn tickets for 35 bottles of water the way people were rationing the stuff.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's stupid.
Then I get back from basketball, and Lisa's laughing. She goes, let Taylor tell you the story. I go, what story? She's like, Jack threw up this morning. I was like, okay, so Jack's our husky. So I'm like, well, first of all, where'd he throw up? She goes, don't worry. I cleaned it up. It was on the hard. It's on the hardwood. It's fine. I go, okay. So I go, Tay, what happened with Jack? She goes, Daddy, Jack's very sick. And I go, okay. She goes, no, Jack is very sick, and he threw up. And Mommy had to clean it. I go, okay. I go, so maybe he ate something? She goes, Daddy, Jack ate the Toyota virus. I just stopped and looked at Lisa, and I go,
that's
really? She goes, she's dead serious. And I go, he ate what? She goes, he ate the Toyota virus everybody's talking about. I don't think he's well.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah. All right. Well,
first
we'll
of
make
all,
sure
no
Jack
more TV for you.
Yeah.
Second
no,
of all,
this is the other
no
thing.
More news for you at all.
I created a monster. And Nick, I think, heard part of this one day when he called me when we were in the car. But we were just looking for, like, entertainment things for Taylor when she's in the car when we're driving around, just the two of us. So we started the car game where you can identify certain cars.
Sure.
And then if there are cars she doesn't know, I'll go, well, there's one you don't know, and I fill her in. Fellas, she doesn't forget, and she rattles them off like we go to the gym. She can't get into the gym fast because she has to go the entire length of the parking lot and impress everyone by rattling off. Now, we're working on Porsche and Tesla, but nice. Pretty much everything else, Cadillacs, she's got them all. She knows them, and that's one of her things, and she just rattles them off in the car. Daddy, Subaru, I'm like, okay, Tay, but the Subaru wasn't close to me. And when you yell it like that, I think a car is ready to come and T-bone me. But yeah, she knows all the cars too.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. So it's like a little game that we play there. So yeah, but the Toyota virus is coming. It's probably coming right
I'm
after.
I'm very nervous. If you drive a Toyota, watch out.
I was going to say, stop drinking Coronas. Now they're going to start worried about Toyotas.
Do not eat the Toyota virus.
No. And speaking of the Toyota virus, I think it hit Toyota Center because there's a lot going on that's bad in that building. Nick was there last night. We'll talk about the Rockets next. We got to get into that. Before we do that, though, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I switched to Infuse Energy about 3.5 years ago, just re-upped with them, and you should join the club as well. P. Randizzle and lots of our listeners have asked me about it. They signed up. They're saving money, too. In fact, P. Randizzle said lowest bill he's ever gotten for his energy. He just got last month from Infuse Energy. Check him out. InfuseEnergy.com. More importantly, call him 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You save $25 on your first bill, and they go from there. They're going to take care of you because they ask you as many questions as you ask them. They find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family or your business? And then they break it down to get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. They're so honest that if there's a rare occasion where another company can beat their prices, they're going to let you know that too because they want you to trust them. And remember, you can go to Infuse Energy. You may not go to them this time, but you'll be back because you know that they weren't going to pull the wool over your eyes or try to just make a fast buck. They're good people doing good business around the Houston area. They got a 5 out of 5 star rating from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. So they take care of their customers too. So make sure you remember Infuse Energy when your next energy bill comes and you're thinking about changing providers. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just a half hour into The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Thought we might break the ice a little bit before people think that we're pooping all over your favorite basketball team, but we'll get into some Rockets talk here. Unfortunately, not a good weekend if you're a Rockets fan. You know, it started out last week when they dropped a game that everybody, obviously including us, said they should have won when they lost to the Knicks in New York. They come back and look, they lose a tough game to a very, very good opponent in the Clippers on Thursday night. But you think, you know what, they'll get right this weekend. No, they spotted the Charlotte Hornets 20 to start the game. They were down 20-0.
It's bad.
Lost that one. But it's a back-to-back. You come home, you get right against the Magic. All's good in the world. Nope. You gave up 70 in the first half, and you got throttled by the Magic, who, by the way, didn't have Evan Fournier, who's arguably one of their top players. And you got whacked at home. You've lost 4 in a row.
Hey, Magic are a playoff team.
Okay, they're in the East.
And the 8 seed at 29-35.
Yeah,
and below 500. And the 7 seed, we'll get to it at some point, but and the 7 seed going to the playoffs just completely fired their coach.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so now they've lost 4 in a row. And remember, and you were good about this, in making sure that we...
They're 6th.
We looked at this big picture when they lost to the Knicks and said, look, let's not lose our bleeping minds. It's one game. As quickly as we were... Everybody was talking about and raving about the 6 in a row when they were playing small ball. Let's not let one loss dilute the success. Well, now you've lost 4 straight, and evidently something's losing. You're losing someone in the locker room or something, because Russell Westbrook didn't even talk after the game, which I like because that lets me know at least he's affected by this. But I mentioned to you guys after the Thursday night game the fact that D'Antoni was like laughing in his press conference and just kind of laughing it off. And then Nick said, yeah. And at halftime, he was only in there for about 2 minutes, and then he was done. It's like, I told Nick today, he should have been breaking stuff. I don't care if he can't lift a chair. Break something. Break a glass.
Well, here's the thing. It's real simple. If your shot's not falling and your defense sucks, you're not going to win in the NBA. And that's exactly what's happening to this team right now. They can't – the three-point shot is not falling for them. Their defense, whether it's transition defense, perimeter defense, low post defense, it all sucks right now. Defensively, this team is garbage right now. They need to get better really quick.
Yeah. I mean, Mike D'Antoni was saying maybe they lost a little bit of confidence. James Harden doesn't seem to believe that. PJ Tucker kind of does. So there's definitely some disconnect there. He did take a little bit longer after the game to come to speak, Mike D'Antoni. He stayed in there longer, but I don't know if he was tearing him a new one or he was just having a long talk. I really don't know. But the worst part about it is that there was 4 lead changes in the first quarter. After, like, I think it was the 4:58 mark, they lost that lead and never got it back. Never got it back against a team that really, honestly, looked way younger, way more inexperienced. Mm-hmm. And some of the former Rockets kind of had their way a little bit, like Markel. Was it Markel Fultz? And who was the other player?
Well,
that
he's
they
not
got?
A former Rocket. James Ennis.
James Ennis, not James Ennis.
Michael Carter Williams.
Michael Carter Williams.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. And to Barry's point, when they won 6 in a row with small ball, they were a top 7 defensive team, efficiency-wise and otherwise. They're now 25th and below that in the way they're trying to stop people. That's a problem. James Harden is a huge problem, fellas.
He's a liability.
We started talking about it last week.
On the defensive end, he's a liability.
The blitz rollover and started saying, well, Joel really said? And you know, I really said it, and we've talked about it. If you're going to build around this team going forward, build around Russ, and realize at least every single night, he's going to go out there with some fire in his belly and want to punch someone in the mouth. I just don't like James's body language, the way he's handling all this. He and D'Antoni right now, to me, are pissing me off to equal degrees. And I'm watching this team going, for all you've done to build up most of this season, you fall into the 6th seed. You're a game above the 7th seed. That's not a good look.
No. One of my notes, James does look like he just doesn't care out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's frustration, if it's disappointment. He's defensively, he just looks like he doesn't care, but that's all he talks about is defense. It's like, bro, how many fast break, how many transition buckets did the Magic get? And you watch James Harden Olay the person that was driving to the bucket. He finally got a hard foul, but it was out of just pure frustration in the fourth quarter. But dude, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. What kind of defense? Oh, I know he likes the Olay steal from the back thing, but it's just he's awful defensively. Yeah.
The getting back drives me crazy. He's not fat, but he looks fat when he gets back on defense because he's running
so
slow
everywhere.
Yeah, and then the other thing is when he doesn't get the call, he drives to the basket. He falls down in the middle of the paint. Rockets are good enough to get the offensive rebound, and your ass is still laying down. Get out of the way so they can dunk it.
Yeah,
like. Get out of the way, bro. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing just laying on the floor because you didn't get the call? Your team got the offensive board. Get out of the way.
And the other thing is he's great at yelling at everybody else whenever there's a dead ball. He's yelling at Jeff Green. He's yelling at the young guys. He's yelling at somebody. But no one's yelling at him. It's like we go back to the fact that he has the keys to the Toyota Center. And everyone's afraid to ruffle the feathers of the franchise. No one's going at him, but boy, he's pointing fingers in every direction but in the mirror.
I did like the fact that at one point, because you mentioned this, I recalled it. There was one point in the game where Jeff Green called the huddle. Mm-hmm. After another terrible defensive set by the Rockets. And you could clearly hear him say on the broadcast, guys, we need to pick it up and be better on this end. And he was talking about defensively. And because offensively, sure, they, you know, but he goes, we have got to step up. I'm trying to forget the, you could clearly hear it. Hold on, I'll tell you exactly what he said. He clearly said, we have to get it together on this end. And that was Jeff Green, not Russ, not James. That was Jeff Green having to tell this team, we're playing like crap right now defensively. Get it together. Then the strange thing is, literally, because they were about to shoot a free throw, After the first free throw, he gets checked out. And I was like, oh, now, what? The one guy that's telling the team to step it up defensively and you pull him out?
And Saturday night?
Sit James, bro. What are you doing? At least Jeff Green is out there hustling.
Not to mention he was the perfect 8-for-8, I think.
Yeah, you tweeted about it. Jeff Green was about the only guy that showed up. I mean, Russ's stats were okay. Harden, they put back in the game when they were just getting annihilated. And someone said, why is he going in? And I said, because he
punishment.
Got... because he's got to get his numbers.
Yeah.
So but you go that route on Sunday night. Saturday night, in Charlotte, same thing. This time it's Robert Covington trying to get the guys fired up, going, now let's go, White. Now we can still do this, because they had cut the 20-point lead, everything like that. But why are we sitting here calling out two guys that have been with the team less than a month as opposed to your franchise player? And look, if Russ doesn't talk after a game, that's an indication that he's just fired up and he's pissed off. Everyone needs to be pissed off, because this is not the time of the year to be doing this.
Yeah, it's an ugly stretch for them. It's an ugly stretch, and you know, the shots is one thing, and we've talked about it almost, I feel like, ad nauseum now. It's what happens when you're a perimeter shooting team only, and I mean only. Now they do get to the bucket, but hell, I feel like they miss half their layups that they do get too. But when you're a perimeter shooting team and you rely on the three pointer, it's going to go away for a little while. Sometimes it's just going to happen, and that's what's happening right now. They just need to fade this, ride the storm out, and eventually their shots are going to fall again. You hope, and you just hope that they get this out of their system now, and it doesn't happen again in the playoffs. But that's not my concern as much as the defensive effort. And not only just effort, but they're not very intelligent, it seems like. They don't switch when they're supposed to be switching anymore. I don't know. There's way too many open looks for the opponents.
That's what bothers me.
Layups.
Guys are going right down Main Street, and everybody's going, hey, see ya.
Everybody's looking. Last night was awful as far as, you know, how many open layups they let the Magic get.
They're just making it easy for guys like us to just rip them on the air. Yeah. We have every right to at this point.
Sure. I mean, 4 games into the – if this was the – like we said, if this was the Knicks game and they went out the night before, whatever the reason, you go, okay, yeah, we can fade that. But, you know, Clippers, look, really top-quality opponent.
Yeah.
We can also
probably
get by that
one. Motivated to beat the Rockets than the Rockets are to beat them because of the
season series and they got off to a slow start. But here we are, 4 losses in, and the last 2 could not be any uglier, and 3 of the 4 losses in the losing streak came to really bad teams. That's not a good look when you're 18 games left in the regular season, getting ready for a playoff push where you want to be considered a contender. There's just too much going on here. And for those of you that are saying, well, Mike D'Antoni's got to go, it's too late for that. He's here for the duration of this season. You're going to have to just tough that out.
You're making that change now.
But I'll tell you this. It seems like we talk about the fact that you can lose a locker room at any time in the season. Worst time could be right here before playoffs. But it seems like there's no one with an ounce of care in the locker room. And there's no one from an authoritative standpoint, from a coaching staff, that's willing to try and light a fire under their ass or kick it.
At this point, you feel like they care more about their fashion and their entrance to the stadium than they do the result on the court. I'm not saying that that's the case, because I know these guys have to care. I know they do, but it just doesn't feel like it. When you watch this team, I get the sense that they're all just like, whatever. It's okay. It's just a loss. Big deal. We're fine. It's not fine. If
you don't have
home
court advantage, you know what's going to be fine? The chances of you lose the fine line that you're going to tiptoe trying to win in the first round without home court.
You get bounced in the first round. Boy, I'm crapping all over you all off season.
All right, who are you going to root for?
Mike, I've changed my team. Might become a Mavericks fan. Shoot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I like Luka.
Really?
I wouldn't do that, but I like that team.
I would disown you if you did that.
Dallas?
Spurs or Mavs? You can't do that. This is why I was very strategic in who I jumped ship to from the Texans. I didn't go Cowboys. I didn't go Titans. I eliminated all those right up front. Can't have you doing that. Now, you want to go be a Kings fan?
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
You got a local kid at point guard.
I don't.
De'Aaron Fox.
Who could I be a fan? I mean, there's other teams for sure, but it
Lakers?
No, I'm not going to jump on that.
He ain't going to be like you.
Clippers?
I was a temporary fan when the whole Kobe situation happened.
Okay.
But well, I was going to say, that, gonna but see, I would understand. The ultimate bandwagon like you.
If you said Lakers, I'd be like, okay, I get it. I totally get it. You got the best player on the planet. You know, the Kobe thing. I get it. I would allow it. Mavs? Can't have it.
contemplate it, Nick.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hour number one, 3 hour show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. We'll be back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, in the first hour of the three-hour extravaganza as we were kicking around the Rockets a little bit. And boy, were we kicking. And screaming as the losing streak has reached four games. Ugly in that three of the four were against horrible opponents. And now they're going to try and right the ship before with the Minnesota Timberwolves before they head out on the road to take on the Lakers and the Blazers. Not going to be a whole lot easier, although people are saying they have one of the easiest schedules down the stretch. Well, one, they need it to be, and two, that didn't do them any good when this stretch they just got done with was supposed to be fairly easy with the exception of the Clippers.
Yeah, if you're losing to teams like Charlotte and Orlando and the Knicks, there's at that point you just got to want, is there an easy schedule? Because you should have went, at worst case, you should have went 2-2.
For sure.
But
like you said,
you probably go 3-1 in that four game
stretch. And the Clipper
stretch.
Game is the one instead that you
instead you're 0-4.
On, right?
That's what I mean. Yeah. You probably go 3-1. Maybe you lose to a Charlotte or, I don't know, even Orlando sneaks up on you because it's a back-to-back. I can see that. You're on the road with Charlotte. Russ sits. You lose that game. But then you come back home, you know, home cooking, whatever. But to go 0-4?
It's embarrassing is what it is.
And that's after, you know, you get a win over Boston, a win over Utah, and a win over Boston again. You get two wins over Boston in, five, six games?
People were ready to put the Rockets in as a potential finals team after beating Boston the second time.
They looked like it in that stretch.
They look good.
I mean, you can go all the way back to the end of January. And, I mean, for most of the month of February, they looked really good. In fact, they lost two games in the entire month. That's a good month.
That's a good month
of basketball. They lost to Phoenix and Utah in the month of February. So, I mean, they had wins against the Lakers. They had the two wins against Boston, a win against Utah. That's a good month. And then now, boy, they are just laying an egg in March. It is just ugly. So,
you know, it's going to be really ugly if they lose tomorrow. Against a team that has 19 wins all season.
Because then, like, that compound that with, then you follow it up with what Joel was saying. Now you got to go to the Lakers and go to Portland. So if you do lose to Minnesota, now you're looking at, what, a seven-game losing streak all of a sudden?
And here's the thing, too, guys. We know D'Antoni is not long for this job if they don't do anything short of a Western Conference Finals appearance or better. But, you know, we were talking about small ball saving his bacon a little bit, giving him a little extra length on the leash, maybe having Tillman's eyes opened up to the fact that maybe we can keep him around. He can't be the only one to go down with the ship if this is the way this is going to end this year. I mean, you got to start putting James Harden's butt on the hot seat a little bit. And this goes
to
what
you were going to say, Daryl.
No, this goes to what you were saying, Barry, earlier, and it's true.
A month ago, we talked about
this. And it's bad. People needed to take notice then, but they not surely
I'm an innovator, guys.
Need to take notice now. I mean, I said that from a fan's perspective last week that they should focus on building this team and making sure they realize Russ is the guy. Wow. But you said a month ago that. But you said a month ago, look, here's the deal. At a certain point, hold the guy accountable if you blame everybody else. You blame Dwight Howard. Mm-hmm. You blamed Chris Paul. You blamed Kevin McHale. And the one constant that you continually brought up was, but what's the one guy that continued to survive all this? James Harden. At a certain point, your Teflon shield has to disintegrate.
Yeah. There's a point where you look at it, it's just like with a quarterback in the NFL. There's a point in every franchise where you say, can we win it all with this guy? Can you win it all with James Harden as your superstar? You've tried it with different combinations. You're now with Russ, and we were just joking about if they get bounced in the first round or if this continues and they're an 8 seed, because they probably will most likely get bounced in the first round if they are an 8 seed. And hell, they might get bounced in the first round if they're the 7 seed, because it's probably the Clippers.
Yeah, Clippers and Lakers are going to be 1-2.
So if that occurs and they don't get this together, then I think you really have to step back if you're Tillman Fertitta and not just say D'Antoni's gone, Daryl Morey might be gone because he was in on this. But then you have to look at it and say, well, what do I do with James? We've tried every superstar to pairing. We've tried a point guard that doesn't need to score. We've tried a point guard that does score. We've tried a big man. We've tried everything. At some point, you got to look at it and go, is it James? Is it really James?
Then look at it from an even bigger perspective with a bigger scope, guys, and say, what team would want him? Because we've talked about outside of Houston and from the Rockets fan base, he's not a very liked guy, media-wise, team-wise, otherwise.
They'll look past that.
So, yeah.
I feel like they will.
Also, fans have to realize, sure, you could resurrect a bad franchise and get him to a team like that, but what you're going to get in return, one, when you trade a superstar, you never, ever get equal value back. But also the fact that when you trade him, you know, you're basically saying, we're probably going to have to blow this whole thing up and start over, because it's hard with the salaries they still have. Russ is making a huge deal. Eric Gordon's making big money. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that you got to weigh in and try and figure out as well. It's not a pretty scenario. And if you're Tillman Fertitta, now you understand why he wasn't willing to go over the luxury tax.
I think you look at it and you look at some team. One, there's the opportunity to do like what the Raptors and the Spurs did and say, all right, let's just swap stars and see if a change of scenery does them both good.
Well, and look, they did that with the Thunder with the Russ and Chris Paul deal.
Exactly. And Russ is thriving.
Both of them.
Statistically, Russ is thriving in this new offense. Getting rid of Capella has opened it up. They said that he's doing things he's never done in his career with this new offense, with the spacing and everything, and stop shooting the three. So maybe that would be the case with James and another star. And I don't know who that star would be. I mean, you can look up and down, and I'm sure there are teams that would love to have. I mean, I'll give you an example of a team that's scuffling that maybe one of their stars needs to do something different. Maybe a Philly, where you go, okay, ship James to Philly, and I don't know, pick a star that you send out. Is it Joel Embiid? Is it, you know, is it Ben Simmons? Who is it going to be?
Well, you got a point guard that you're on the contract with Russ.
Yeah, I would say, you don't need two point guards. Right, that can't
if
shoot.
You can get Embiid, but, and pair him with Russ.
I think that would be awesome.
But that's what I'm saying. So then, because Philly's probably like, well, we got a point guard that can't shoot. We got a big man that can't seem to stay healthy, and he's got a little bit of an attitude issue. But if we could get the best scorer maybe in the NBA, that would really help us. We know he doesn't play defense, but
then you
got
to get
guys.
A coach that'd be open to a not your point guard, but Harden controlling the ball for 19 seconds at a time.
Yeah, and again, all of that is factors. But sure. to narrowing it down, that's just a scenario. I was just throwing out the Sixers. But I think the point becomes sometimes it's okay to move on. Sometimes it's okay to say, you know what? We tried it. We threw two coaches, one GM, and three different kinds of superstars we paired him up with. And guess what? At the end of the day, he was the center point of all of this failure, because that's right now what it really comes down to is James Harden and Daryl Morey. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and lump him in there, but they're the center point of all the failure of the Rockets over the last 6-7 years.
And I'm not going to say it's on Russell Westbrook, but it kind of is on Russell Westbrook. I need to see him yell at James Harden. I just need to, because he's going to be the only guy that can call James Harden out. Yeah, it's got to get. There's got to be a breaking point.
Now, maybe he does, but Russ is just classy enough to do it in the locker room. Yeah, maybe he pulls him aside and says, bro, you need to get it together, Brody. This ain't working. You're the best scorer on the planet, James. You need to get your bleep together and act like it. I don't know. But so, maybe it occurs and he's just a big enough person not to do it in public.
Especially because...
But I agree with you. It needs to happen.
It's about the last month now that James has just been awful. Not just from three, just overall.
Yeah. I think his February was pretty good. I think it was his January. I could pull it up. I think his January, it was awful from three-point range. And his February was decent. But this run in March isn't going well.
No, it's not going well at all. And I can verify for you fellas now more than ever that the Chris Paul thing was real. And that it wasn't that everybody had had enough of Chris and him yelling at people. But the anti-Chris Paul, you can't have either. You got to have someone that can hold James accountable.
It was his January, he shot 27% from three-point range. February, he shot 37%. But now he's shooting 19% in March.
That's awful.
Yeah, yeah, you just can't have. And really, the bad shooting started at the end. Feb 29, he went 4 of 17 in that Boston win. And it's just been bad ever since.
Yeah, it really has. And you know, the thing is, if D'Antoni is the guy to go, everybody says, but if you're going to get rid of him, who are you going to replace him with? Well, now there's someone out there, because there was a move made by a playoff team that we made mention of. We'll get to a little bit here in the second hour of the show, but maybe that's a guy that can come in and try and do some things with the Rockets starting next year. But that's a discussion for the second hour of the show, and that's coming up next. Before we get to that, though, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Apollo Men's Health. Look, fellas, I know sometimes life is tough. And maybe you're running out of energy and you want to go to the gym and work out more, but you just can't find that boost that you need to go in there and force yourself to do it. Or maybe you're having some troubles in the bedroom and you just don't know what to do and you're embarrassed about the fact that you might seek help. It's really not that hard. All you got to do is look up Apollo Men's Health. These guys are going to take care of you. And it's not just another testosterone therapy clinic. In addition to the traditional methods of injections, Apollo Men's Health offers cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. It reduces your weekly visits to a more manageable amount of time that you have to come in, but also maintains your overall wellness in a more convenient way. They offer everything for you from body composition analysis and HGH peptide therapy to increasing your overall quality of life. Let's face the facts, guys. Your health is your wealth, so you should invest in yourself. It's really simple. They're located in Lake Jackson and Pearland, and all you got to do is pick up the phone. 832-664-9966. 832-664-9966, or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. And believe me when I tell you, all you got to do is go once, and you'll be glad you did.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.